plastic is probably one of the most convenient inventions and the perfect material. It is malleable, resistant, and economical. It is the most popular, cost-effective, and abundant material today, solving many design problems and logistical problems from construction to packaging, allowing the industry to grow over tenfold in the last 10 years. But what is the true cost of plastics in the long term? Plastic generates more greenhouse gases than the entire amount of annual emissions from the aviation and shipping industries combined. I'm Christy Ah, and you're watching The Cost of Everything, where today we're going to be looking at this very common household item and seeing if it really is the perfect product. Plastics actually derive from natural organic materials such as cellulose, coal, natural gas, salt, and of course, crude oil. Crude oil is processed before it can be used, distilling it at a refinery. And this separates the crude into hydrocarbon chains, and one of these chains is a compound called naphtha, which is a crucial compound for the production of plastics. Then, there are two main processes used to produce different types of plastics: polymerization and polycondensation. They both require specific catalysts to link polymer chains together, and each polymer has its own properties and can vary in physical structure, size, flexibility, and depending on what types of basic monomers are used. From these reactions, you can then create thermoplastics, which are your flexible plastics that distort when heated, or your thermosets, which are hard plastics that will not soften once they have been molded. So depending on the type of plastic you're manufacturing, a kilo of virgin raw material costs mere pennies. That is why manufacturers, packaging companies, and every industry use it, and why consumers devour it, because it is literally dirt cheap. Plastic bottles are produced everywhere in the world, but the cost of producing them varies dramatically due to the differences in raw material costs and energy prices. Because of the shale gas boom, the America, as well as the Middle East, is more cost-effective given the access to crude. Meanwhile, Asia and Europe must rely on more expensive naphtha. Because of this, the Middle East and the US are two of the cheapest countries where plastic is produced, at around 2 cents per unit bottle. China is next, given the very cheap labor and the cheaper fuel, averaging out at around 3 cents a bottle. And this is followed by the European Union and Japan at 3.3 cents and 3.6 cents, respectively. Currently, recycling plastic is actually more expensive than making new plastic, which means that companies have very little incentive to dig through the landfill for old material. So the plastic that we discard every day is probably going to end up in the landfills, where it may take up to 1,000 years to decompose, potentially leaching toxic substances into the soil and water. Germany researchers are warning that the impact of microplastics in soil, sediment, and freshwater could have long-term negative impacts on the ecosystem. And the study estimates that 1/3 of all plastic waste ends up in soils or freshwater and ends up entering the food chain. And because plastic takes so long to break down, they never really actually disappear. Almost every piece of plastic ever made, which is about 8.3 billion tons, still exists in one form or another today. So now let's bring in Satish Sinha, Associate Director at Toxics Links. Satish, is there any replacement for plastics? Something that is so durable and malleable, but at the same time, cheap to produce?
That's a tough question to answer about replacement of plastic. Plastic, by virtue of its properties, is perhaps the most wonder material that we know today. It's hard to replace plastic as it goes. But yes, we will have to find ways to deal with plastic, and we'll have to deal with some of the impacts of plastic that is causing on the environment and on this planet as such. So to answer your question simply, there is no direct replacement for the current plastic that we have. But certainly there are ways to deal with it.
Is plastic really that dangerous? I mean, how prevalent are these microplastics and what harm do they cause?
Well, plastic is a substance which in its complete life cycle, if you study plastic, and the more information that we get year on year with new research, new findings, we are realizing that plastic has a lot of downside to it. There are a lot of impacts of plastic. For the very reason that plastic is now considered, it not considered as an inert material, for the reason that right from the point of source of extraction of the raw material to its final disposal, all along the life cycle of plastic, there are huge amounts of chemicals which are used in this life cycle, which are released during the life cycle. Many of these chemicals, there are almost today about 10,000 chemicals are used in plastic manufacturing and processes, out of which about 2,400 are known to be chemicals of concern. They're recognized as chemicals of concern. And this is what is posing the biggest risk to environment and to human health both. So that is the danger that it poses. As regards microplastic, microplastic is nothing but a smaller fragments of plastic. They happen on two accounts. One is primary microplastic, which we manufacture as smaller fragments of plastic. And we add to many of the products that we use in our daily life, some of which I can mention to you as personal care products like face scrub, toothpaste, shampoo. All these things have certain amounts of microplastics added to it for the kind of properties that it provides to the plastic and for the purpose that you are using it to. So these are known as primary microplastics. They are very small fragments. Essentially, today, the definition of microplastics by size is that any plastic particle which is less than 5 mm is considered as microplastic. And there is a second category of microplastic, which is secondary microplastics, or which happen because of breakdown of large amounts of plastic that is there on this earth. So these are two kinds of microplastics. And the problem with microplastic is that they inherently contain the chemicals that the original plastic had. Because of the breakdown, it does not move away from the plastics and that contains it. And when it reaches the soil or water or marine or any other medium, it releases, many of these chemicals are released from this microplastic. Secondly, during the course of the journey of microplastic, it also absorbs or gathers some other chemicals which are available in the environment, especially persistent organic materials, which are known as POPs. They also join with the plastics, and they're all released into the marine system, into river system, into soil. And this is the real hazard from microplastics.
Is being exposed to microplastics just inevitable these days, seeing as they're basically everywhere in all of our food packaging as well as our clothes?
See, microplastics is, today it has become a big issue. We didn't have so much of data, so much of information in the maybe 10 years earlier or ago. But now as we progress and we get more data and information, we find that microplastic is almost everywhere. Right from your drinking water to your packaged drinking water, to the food that we are consuming, to the air that we are breathing. So it is a bit concerning as to how much of microplastics is all around us and what impact does it have on the human body. It's difficult to fully understand this because science is yet working in this direction and we are still developing more information on it. But to say the least is that it is all around us and it's hard to say that we can save ourselves from the impacts of microplastics.
The world has gotten better about consuming plastics in recent years, as a lot of grocery stores now use paper instead of plastics. But those things started out as a policy first to reduce the use of plastic. So is a top-down mandated approach necessary to reduce the consumption of plastics, as the economics of it will never work out for a consumer-driven approach?
See, the world today, the global data on plastic is about 350 million metric tons of plastics is produced worldwide. It's about 350 million metric tons. And the estimates are that by 2050, it is going to be 1.1 billion metric tons of plastic. This is worldwide data that I'm talking about, of which, since 1950, this is a progression. It has gone up, and today we are at this stage. But we have, the data suggests that we recycle just about 9 to 12% of this plastic. So rest of the plastic is mismanaged. So I told you about 9 to 12% is recycled. Some of it is incinerated, and the rest of it is either landfilled or is lying elsewhere in use. So this is the fate of plastics. So it's hard to say that what economic model that we need to think to reduce this plastic production and consumption. But the fact remains that the world understands this better now, and there is a global effort in trying to reduce the menace of plastic. The world, UN has recently, in the last 3 years, has come up with a global effort to reduce the impacts of plastic, and they have called upon all nations to join hands, and we are working towards an international convention to reduce the impacts of plastic. I'm not too sure what will be the outcome of this convention, but I think all nations agree that this is a global problem. This is not an individual country problem, and there are no isolated solutions. Solutions will have to come by coming together. All nations will have to work together to reduce production, consumption, and look for certain alternate material. Also look for certain plastics which are not essential. Non-essential plastics need to be reduced. So there will be multiple kinds of effort in the next 2-3 years, which will be drawn up through this process of international negotiation. But the outcomes of it will be only felt when the treaty is actually implemented by all nations.
Thank you so much, Satish. Satish will be joining us right after the break. And when we come back, while manufacturing plastic is dirt cheap, the hidden cost of plastic to our society, the environment, and the economy is staggering. We will explain more when we come back.
So what we've got to do is identify the threats that we have.
It's crazy.
Confrontation, let it be an arms race.
Who is on offense? Very dramatic development.
I personally am going to resist.
I don't see how that strategy will be successful.
Very critical time.
Time to sit down and talk.
Okay.
Welcome back. We are discussing the cost of plastic. And while manufacturing plastic is dirt cheap, the hidden cost of plastic to our society, the environment, and the economy stems from greenhouse gas emissions, health, waste management, and unmanaged waste. The UN Environment Program reports that fossil fuel-based plastic alone accounts for an estimated 15% of the world's carbon budget, equivalent to 1.7 gigatons of CO2. Now, in the last 20 years, the world has consumed more plastic in the previous 50 years, and because it is so cheap, it is so often discarded. Less than 10% of that plastic is recycled and is instead dumped in the oceans. Currently, more than 11 million tons of plastic enters the ocean every year. And microplastics are also everywhere, from our yogurt cups to clothes. Most clothes today are made of synthetic fibers or plastics like nylon or polyester. And these plastics won't decompose for hundreds of years. And when washed, they release tiny microscopic pieces of plastic into our oceans, our homes, and our bodies. Patagonia commissioned a study that found washing a single synthetic jacket just once released an average of 1.7 grams of microplastic fibers. These microplastics get into the air we breathe, the food we eat, the water we drink, and ends up infecting our bodies. Researchers have found microplastics in our blood now. And a study led by the University of Newcastle, Australia, reveals that consuming common food and beverages may result in us ingesting of approximately 5 grams of plastic, which is equivalent of a credit card. Studies have shown that these microplastics, whether consumed or inhaled, can lead to problems with the respiratory system, the nervous system, digestive systems, and your skin. Plastics also contain hormone disruptors that alter the normal functioning of the endocrine system, causing diseases. The Ecology Center of California says that constant exposure to these chemicals can lead to cancers, especially breast, prostate, and testicular. They can also cause birth defects, immune system suppression, and other developmental problems in children. And the effects of these plastic pollution has also been linked to thyroid problems and lowering sperm count and infertility. Now the WWF defines mismanagement waste as any plastic burned or directly dumped into the environment. And from this study, it reported that 41% of packaging is mismanaged and 47% of mismanaged packaging ends up in the oceans. Now, this is alarming as we can then examine the cost of this waste. Marine plastic pollution reduced global GDP up to $7 billion in 2018 from deterring tourists from travel hotspots or putting fishing and aquaculture activities at risk. And there's also increased cost of waste management. Every year, it costs the U.S. more than $32 billion to collect, sort, dispose, and recycle the huge quantities of plastic waste generated. Citizens also incur significant costs from cleanup activities to remove this waste, as high as $15 billion a year. And for more, let's bring in once again Satish Sinha, Associate Director at Toxics Link. Now, Satish, what is the true cost of plastics in your opinion, including all of the adverse effects to the environment, to humans, et cetera?
The impact of plastic, true cost of plastic is that's what I mentioned in my opening sentence, that is complete life cycle of plastic. And important to understand that where it comes from, it is actually the raw material is from the fossil fuel, mostly petroleum-based. And as we move, progress, we are now understanding that it was essentially oil wells that we were getting this raw material from. Now, with advent or with new kinds of technology like fracking, which has been there so common now, which has been another technology which produces oil, crude, and that is where the cost of production has also gone down, and the raw material is available in more plentiful, and that is why the real cost of plastics has gone down, actually, if you ask me. But the cost that it has, the real cost that we're talking about on human health and environment is manifold. And why I'm saying this is because of the chemicals that are used in plastics manufacturing and during the extraction process also. The whole process of fracking itself is so toxic and so impactful to environment and human health. You pump in so much of water and so much of chemicals to get the crude out from the fracking process. Even in the oil heads, which you're doing normal fossil fuel extraction, you have a lot of chemicals which are added to it. Now, all these chemicals are released into the environment. Now, in the process of manufacture or refining the crude and getting your ethylene and other raw material that you use for plastics, and during the process of making products from plastic or manufacturing plastics, you add many more chemicals to it. They are all stabilizers or colorants or fragrance. These are all chemicals, a huge amount of chemicals to provide these properties that we're talking about. Either they become hard or elastic or waterproofing or fragrance or soft and, you know, transparent. All these are because of the chemicals which are added to it. They are, many of these chemicals today are recognized as of serious concern. Some of them are known as carcinogen also. Some of them are known as endocrine disrupting. Many of these chemicals are recognized by scientific community and world bodies as endocrine disrupting or carcinogen or chemicals which can cause other kinds of diseases. Now, this is the real cost of plastic, and it is released into the environment that we all acknowledge today. The impacts of these on human health can be multiple. You know, from cardiovascular to obesity, to your reproductive system, impact on the reproductive system, both to male and women, both female and male. So the impacts are phenomenal, and we are yet to come to complete understanding as to what is the real cost of this plastic pollution at the moment.
Now, how is plastic recycled, and aren't microplastics and other pollutants released during the breakdown process? So wouldn't that mean that recycling also isn't exactly eco-friendly as we might think it is?
Well, yeah, that's the common understanding, that if you recycle, you are safe. You are able to bring it back and that does not go into landfill or does not go into the ocean. That's the kind of understanding we have. But the fact remains that plastic is no one kind of resin. It's not one kind of material that is there. There are different kinds of plastic which are there. And that happens, the different kinds of plastic happens because of the kind of stabilizers that you add to it, the kind of chemicals that you add to it. You all of us realize that the same plastics are very soft. Some plastics are very hard. Some plastics look transparent, some look different, some you can squeeze, some you can do this. Now, these are all added, these are all achieved by adding certain amount of chemicals to it. So two plastics may not be similar, but when we recycle it, it's very hard to differentiate. So we put most of it, the recycling that we see, especially in countries like India or in the Asian countries, or maybe in other countries also, China, you just mix all of these used plastic and you then recycle them. So you have chemical composition moving from one kind to another kind. And that is why the plastic that you produce finally is a mix of all these things. So recycling is not a very safe option for, you know, unless we have clear cut segregation, we know what are the chemicals in one kind of plastics, what are the kind of chemicals. This disclosure is also not available from the industry, that what are the chemicals added to this plastic, what are the chemicals added to the second category of plastic, what are the chemicals added to the. Now, if we are able to segregate it very, very based on scientific information, and then we recycle it, perhaps we'll be safer. So at this point of time, if we think that recycling is a very good option to deal with the chemical hazards posed from plastic, it may not be very, very accurate to say that.
Thank you so much, Satish, for joining us today. It seems like the plastic industry is the big winner here, as it has literally invaded every aspect of our lives and is impossible to escape. But there are companies out there who are trying to change the narrative. Bioplastics currently make up less than 1% of the market, and these are made from bio sources such as sugarcane, algae, even banana waste and shellfish. Other companies have plant-based plastics made from sugars that can be used for bottles and films. And these take about a year to decompose in an industrial composter, which is significantly better than traditional plastics. Coca-Cola has also begun testing a paper bottle in Hungary for its drink, which makes bottles from paper pulp. And Torrefine is another company that has developed the world's first commercially viable, truly biodegradable and compostable alternative to conventional plastic packaging, which breaks down naturally in the ocean. Torrefine is made from natural polymers like starch and algae and has won the Nobel Prize in 2020, as it is significantly stronger than any other plastic alternative on the market. However, it is still new and needs to scale up before tackling the huge plastic industry. The big question for all of these innovations still remains: where the material is sourced from and where does it end up? Paper, for example, isn't sustainable packaging material if it contributes to deforestation. And also, it is likely to take many years before these materials can scale up enough to make a dent in the 300 million tons of plastic produced every year. I'm Christy I. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you back here next time on The Cost of Everything.